Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
We are using a narrative technique to go through the Gospel of Luke. And so this particular passage today stands between the last week sermon, the last week reading, where Jesus clarifies indeed that his call is to bring good news to the poor. He now enters into an opportunity to be invited into a household. But you might ask, as I do the reading, how much of a really warm invitation did he receive? You might ask, as I do the reading, who is showing the most forgiveness here? You might ask, as I do the reading, where am I in this reading? Now, I'm going to be reading to you from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, called The Message. But if you'd like to read along in the New Revised Standard Version, I'm on page 66 of your pew Bible. Luke 7, verses 36 to 50. One of the Pharisees asked him over for a meal. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down at the dinner table. Just then, a woman of the village, the town harlot, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home of the Pharisees, came with a bottle of very expensive perfume and stood at his feet, weeping, raining tears on his feet. Letting down her hair, she dried his feet, kissed them, and anointed them with the perfume. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man was the prophet I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman that this is who is falling all over him." Jesus said to him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Oh, tell me." "Two men were in debt to a banker. One owed 500 silver pieces, the other 50. Neither of them could pay up, and so the banker canceled both debts. Which of the one would be more grateful?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one who was forgiven the most." "That's right," said Jesus. Then turning to the woman, but speaking to Simon, he said, "Do you see this woman? I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet, but she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting, but from the time I arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. You provided nothing for freshening up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume." Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, and she is very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal. Then he spoke to her, "I forgive your sins." That set the table guest talking behind his back. Who does he think he is, forgiving sins? Jesus ignored them and said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of God for the people of God.
This is a text that I've always loved, and it's something I've been curious about, just as Simon was likely curious about who Jesus was when he invited him to his house in the first place. And my first question is, why would Jesus accept this invitation? He had already been preaching and teaching and healing in towns all around the area, and most of the people were aware of the rebellious tone that he took towards the Pharisaical religious leaders. So when one of them, Simon, asked him to dinner, why go? Why spend time with someone that you suspect may hate you or disagree with you or try to hurt you or entrap you? I think Jesus sets a good example for all of us today as we find ourselves in an overly politicized environment. No matter what our theology is, no matter what our politics or our social opinions are, if we choose to dine and spend time with only people who are like us, then how should we ever understand or be able to connect with people who are different from us? Jesus would have been guilty of reverse prejudice if he had declined Simon's dinner invitation. And the only way I think that we can help bring God's kingdom to earth is to listen to one another, to hear the pain and the hurt that others experience, even if it seems wildly unfamiliar and uncomfortable to us. We may not agree with many of the current voices that we hear in today's movements and on television, but perhaps rather than assuming that we understand why people do what they do, perhaps it's time for each of us to step out, to step up, to invite a Republican or a Democrat or an Independent over for dinner. Perhaps we need to ask or even attend, ask someone why they attended a Black Lives Matter event, a women's march, an anti-immigration protest, or a rally against Planned Parenthood. Perhaps we should flip our own television channels to CNN or to Fox News or to whatever station it is that you find most incomprehensible and just listen for a while. I know that's easier said than done, and I think we should only attempt it with God's help, a significant amount of humility and prayer and an open heart. But Jesus accepted Simon's invitation. He took time to be in Simon's home, to eat at his table, to meet his friends and his neighbors, and just to listen. I think that we should, too. You see, Simon was not a hardline Pharisee. He was sending mixed signals with this invitation, signals about his curiosity, and the Bible text doesn't tell us anything about his motivation. Is he really prepared to give Jesus a fair hearing? Or is he perhaps, as one theologian William Barclay claims, a collector of celebrities? I don't know if you know people like this, people who just want to get to know and be close to rising stars. We don't know what Simon's motivation was, but what we do know is that even though he dined with the Son of God, he failed to recognize who Jesus was and what he was offering. And most of the onlookers present were curious bystanders at best, not active participants. They saw and they heard and they asked questions about what was going on, but they weren't ready to respond in any way. I wonder how many times in our own lives we invite Jesus in. We invite him in during blessings at our mealtimes, by attending church, sometimes by putting our kids to bed and saying our prayers. But I wonder how often we fail to honor Jesus and truly live the forgiven and forgiving lives that he expects of us. Do we really want to invite him in the fullness of his identity, into our most intimate worlds and families? Let's be honest, Jesus was a homeless, couch surfing, hippie zealot by our standards. He believed in free love, free grace, freedom for all people. He was way more radical than Dr. Martin Luther King. And I will wonder if we are willing to risk being transformed by Jesus Christ, if we are willing to risk being wrong about some of the things that we are so certain about, if we are willing to risk being changed and being shaped into more godlike people than we were yesterday or even a moment ago. You see, Simon and his guests, they were not ready to receive Jesus Christ or God's love because their ideas about religion and ethics were wrapped up in Jewish laws, in boxes that clearly separated separated them from those who they perceived were less than them, the righteous from the unclean, the worthy from the untouchable. And these men, and perhaps even women, had not yet come to terms with the depths of their own hearts and their own prideful egoism. They hadn't accepted God's forgiveness for their sins, and so they hadn't let their hardened hearts melt into hearts of flesh, as we read in the Old Testament. They hadn't invited God's love for themselves and others to flow through them. And it's a hard message to hear, but I believe that self-sufficiency shut them and shuts us off today from God. A theologian once said, "The greatest of sins is to be conscious of no sin. For while sinners receive, the self-sufficient reject." I think cultivating our sense of need opens the door to God's forgiveness and the inflow of God's radical, life-changing love in us and through us. But like forgiveness, this is God's work. Many of us, most of us perhaps, cannot choose love all by ourselves. We need God's grace and mercy, God's strength and power to choose love in the face of evil and fear and sin. Simon and his self-sufficient, self-righteous guests are not even aware of their life and death need for Jesus. None of them is singing, "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." Instead, they stand in judgment of others and of this woman in pain. And in contrast, this outcast prostitute, this nasty woman, is painfully conscious of her need for forgiveness when she encounters Jesus Christ. And before she can confess her sins or even open that jar of alabaster ointment that she had hanging around her neck, as all Jewish women did back then, she is overcome with tears. She forgets everything and everyone as she stands in the presence of holiness. She weeps, and she wipes, and she anoints Jesus. And her response is one of bold devotion and gratitude, not done secretly or appropriately in private. Her action, her love in action, is a sign of her faith, much deeper than any of the religious leaders who were at the table dining with Jesus. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. This woman proves that social conventions, ideals, and judgments are thrown out the window when God's kingdom is brought down into our daily realities. Forgiveness and unconditional love set new standards and raise new expectations. Luke is full of such reversal stories from the beginning to the end. Humans appear not as we have defined them, but as God sees them. The prostitute becomes the teacher. And the reaction of Simon and Jesus shows us different ways that we too can respond to others, even people who frighten us, who embarrass us, or perhaps disgust us. Simon's understanding of righteousness causes him to distance himself from the sinful woman, just as many of us distance ourselves from others. But Jesus' understanding of righteousness moves him towards her with a sense of forgiveness and a blessing of peace. In the final verses of today's text, he bids her to go in peace. And where could she go but to the Lord? We're talking about a street urchin, a prostitute, a woman of the night. She's not welcome anywhere in respectable society. She's only welcome on the street with other sinners like her. I read a quote from Fred Craddock this week that said, "What she needs is a community of forgiven and forgiving sinners." This story screams the need for a church, not just any church, but one that says, "You are welcome here." And I pray that we, as Hilltop United Methodist Church, and the new church that we're dreaming about and planting over on the west side, that we may be the church that reminds people of this compassion, of this forgiveness, and of this extravagant love. May it be so. Amen. Would you please stand?
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.